or welcome back. For those of you who are new to this podcast, my name is Marty Young. And for the last 42 episodes of the Primrose Chronicles, I've been the host and narrator, even a guide into the times of the 1950s and 60s as a representative of the baby boomer generation. For several days now, I've been trying to decide how to describe this week's installment of the Chronicles, possibly to draw some of you in afresh and also to bring new listeners on board. You see, on the one hand, it's really just another of the TPC second season interviews where I move over out of my normal narrator rock into a role where I tell a new tale weekly and into the formal position of interviewer with another personality from Primrose or character of the Chronicle. So to announce that is not too uncommon anymore. We've had about 5 guests since Season 2 launched back in January, and rounding out that number to a half dozen, I'm excited to welcome my oldest long-standing friend Bob Bossler for his take on the old neighborhood. What makes today unique, though, is that it really is a crossover event. Now, if you're not sure what that is, the highly reliable resource Wikipedia calls such an effort, in its simplest and most common form, a television crossover that involves a starring character on a parent show appearing on a spinoff or vice versa because of established character relationships. Still not clear on it? All right, you might understand the concept by my mentioning some examples that you're familiar with. On TV, it would be like One Chicago, which weaves together the stories of Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, and Chicago Med, or LA Law with its SVU and criminal intent and the like. Some of you older in my audience might more easily relate to Happy Days, which spun off Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, and Joni Loves Chachi. And of course, soap opera fans who follow the characters of One Life to Live right on to General Hospital. Realize it or not, you participated in a crossover event. Crossovers are a method of literary connection, such as Mark Twain with the volumes Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and Jules Verne's melding of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, The Mysterious Island, and In Search of the Castaways, all tying in the submarine Nautilus and its Captain Nemo. At the risk of TPC, though, becoming too highbrow with all these literary references, crossovers are also in evidence in films such as King Kong vs. Godzilla, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, or Frankenstein, as well as, of course, the Marvel and DC comics. In the foreground of all these examples is today's Chronicles effort. By all examinations, TPC Episode 211, the 5:30 a.m. Primrose Story, is indeed a crossover event. As it has unfolded, I see it as a fulcrum on which two different looks at the same community cross paths with some degree of levity. The intersection is 44th and Primrose, with one storyline, my Chronicles project, going forward, and the other, a recently released newsletter article in the 5 a.m. stories, found at robertbossler.substack.com. I really urge you to listen to that before or after this particular podcast. Specifically, it's about a 7-minute read, and it's entitled Where Life's a Holiday. You see, about a week ago, the authors of TPC and 5 a.m. Stories, that would be myself and Bob, sat down and reflected on a variety of themes. The result is this week's Chronicles episode. With that extended explanation for the chat on which you're about to eavesdrop, I would like to tell you a little bit more about Bob, known in his literary circles as Robert, and a few words of introduction are in order. Bob and I grew up in the same neighborhood that I tell stories about every week. Since we went our separate ways following School 91 and Broderville High School, suffice it to say that those days and experiences on Primrose were quickly in Bossler's rearview mirror. Bossler. Last name. That's how we referred to each other. Anyway, for most of his adult life, Bob has been an international correspondent, blogger, editor, all with Reuters News Agency, and that led him into experiences with world personalities and to pivotal locations in current events. Events and locations others only dream about or maybe have nightmares about. But after living in Europe, England, New York, and Washington, D.C., he and his wife of over 50 years, Barbara, moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico to settle into their golden years, only to find a small Midwest metropolis at the crossroads of America calling them back to urban civilization. They admit to never seeing it coming, but Bosler and Barb returned to not only the same city, but even the same side of town of the same city of Bob's youth, finding a home a mere 2 miles from the avenue on which he lived for the first 16 years of his life. That would be Primrose. You were introduced to Bob Bosler in the earliest podcast dropped at TPC over a year ago. And in the last year, we've talked regularly about my efforts to keep the era and the locale we call the old neighborhood alive. But upon his grand entrance into Hoosier life, he himself started into a craft that he's proven really good at. And that's taking a humorous, witty, quirky, and sometimes sarcastic look at his own life. They're being combined into a series of online newsletter blogs, the 5 a.m. stories, located at robertbosler.substack.com. And they're each only about a 10-minute read. But one thing I'd say, I bet you can't read just one. You'll hear more about that in the moments ahead in our banter. But I'd like to encourage you, though, to read his take on the old neighborhood in that newsletter, Where Life's a Holiday. Either just before or just after you listen to the next half hour of chatter, and then maybe even listen to fresh episode 1 in TPC, The House at 4425. All right, with that set up, it's time for the real fun to start. I bring to you a conversation between two old friends. Enjoy. Oh, and don't miss hearing about Bosler's barrenness. It's toward the end, and it's a hoot. Here goes.
Well, podcast friends, my guest today is, I would have to say, one of my longest standing friends in the old neighborhood, even though we lost track of each other for nearly 50 years. And back in 2010, we reconnected through Facebook. For whatever good things can be said about Facebook, I feel like that's one of them, that Bob and I were able to get together. His name's Bob Bosler. He goes by Robert in the literary world. He's a lifelong journalist. He's got more than 30 years with Reuters News Agency as a correspondent, an editor, a blogger. He's got a wealth of experiences from the people he's met to the incidents that he's covered. But his roots are in Indianapolis, and more specifically, his roots are in the Primrose neighborhood. He's traveled the world, but now he's living in a haunted Tudor home on the northeast side of Indianapolis, haunted by an actual baroness. And we'll talk about that before this particular interview closes down. But coming back to the northeast side of Indianapolis just in recent years, he's almost come full circle. So I am thrilled that Bob Bosler is my guest. We've had it scheduled for a while now, but all the journalism that he knows came from cutting his teeth on the staff of the riparian Broad Ripple High School newspaper. And some of you may know him as Herman Hogelbogel for a time at the Indianapolis News. If you are a listener of the podcast, you heard about him a couple of times last season, but today you're going to hear from him, and I think you'll be extremely impressed. The main reason he's willing to even talk with me is I'm going to promote his newsletter, and got a project that twice drops weekly articles that share his memories from all of the things he has done around the world. But it's not strictly history. It's called 5 a.m. Stories. You'll be able to find it. We'll plug this several times during the podcast. It's robertbosler.substack.com. But I dare say it's one of the most entertaining, witty, humorous telling of life experiences that I've read in a while, and I really believe it's going to make itself into a book at some point in time. So today is a crossover event, because last week Bob posted a newsletter. He's talked about Beirut, Lebanon. He's talked about Beijing. He's talked about England. He's talked about New York City. And last week he talked about Primrose. And more specifically, he referred to my very first podcast in the Primrose Chronicles, The House at 4425. And when you go looking for it, in addition to all the other ones that I really want to encourage you to listen to, It's entitled Where Life's a Holiday. So laid out a few generalities, Bob. You tell us, where you been since we were last riding bikes together on Primrose?
Good morning, Marty. We left Indianapolis almost 50 years ago, Barbara and I, and never looked back. Went to New York City, Hong Kong, Washington, D.C., lived each place for a long time, and then retired to Santa Fe, New Mexico. And after about 8 years there, we decided to reinvent ourselves again and came back to Indianapolis, which is a very different city now than it was when we left it in 1973. And we're having a good time now. We love our house and we love the city. When I found out that you were actually dropping your podcast about a year ago, I was just sort of stunned that there would be such a thing. And I didn't know then that I would actually be starting to write the 5 a.m. stories, and the two of us who lived five houses apart for many years would actually both be talking about the old neighborhood in public.
Well, that's blew me away as well. Part of it, since we've been talking back and forth frequently and infrequently over the almost 15 years, 13 years now that we first connected, I had no idea, and I really have had no idea until I started reading robertbosler.substack.com, the 5 a.m. stories. Is that what you wanted me to do? That do that every couple, 3 minutes?
That's fine.
Okay. No, but as I read, it was like peeling back the different leaves or sides of an onion, because at every turn, I was learning more and more about what your life had been all about. And so my question, I know you said Indianapolis had changed, but still, how had it changed enough that it would cause you to come back to the Hoosier State, and even more so to the north side where you did elementary school and high school?
Well, we wanted something different. We love Santa Fe, but at heart, urban people. And I wanted a place where we could walk out our front door and walk to restaurants and shops and that sort of thing. And that's not how Santa Fe is set up. We had to drive like 5 or 6 miles to get a stick of gum. So we just wanted something more urban. And we haven't been disappointed at all. And I like the symmetry that, you know, I grew up 2 miles from here. You did too. And now I've moved back to what used to be considered a very nice street, still is. And yet in 10 minutes, I can drive back to the old neighborhood, you know, where I spent my first 16 years. There's something kind of neat about it. And I would point out, if people haven't read my story from last week about Primrose, when I heard that your podcast was dropping, I drove over and listened to it, streamed it off my phone while sitting in front of your old house and looking down the street at my old house. And there just seemed to be something really fulfilling about that, very, very complete.
That, to me, is something that I really wanted to make sure you spoke to, because as I read that, I haven't been by that house very much, even though I've been home, and I don't know that I would have necessarily stopped, but it almost gave me chills to have you, your Bluetooth and listening in, just listening to it as you look down at your place. That, to me, was fascinating that it had that much of a connection for you. For anybody who's from the neighborhood, I urge you to read that, because for one thing, Bob has a quote in his newsletter, article, whatever we're calling it, story, and I want you to finish the quote, and I know how you answer it, but I want you to finish it and go with it any direction you want to go. But Bob says, "Of course, I had my own memories about the old neighborhood, but to draw wisdom and life lessons from them was another thing altogether. Were they good memories? Let's just say that Marty claims he had a magical childhood, and I claim to have had a childhood." Go with that quote, because that struck me.
Well, I think I said to finish that, I ascribe the difference in outlooks to not much more than you being a preacher and me being a journalist. We tend to be more jaded and cynical about things, I think.
But, including about preachers, right?
Including about preachers. So I was never going to, you know, jump for joy over, you won't find that in my stories. You'll find some, I really liked most of my life, all of my life, really, but I don't really gush about it. I've always thought your view of things was a little more rosy than mine. What really knocked me out when we first reconnected in 2010 was you telling me that, and you were a preacher in Vernal, Utah, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
You told me that your weekly sermons were filled with stories and events and people from the old neighborhood, and you said if you were to come to Vernal, Bob, and introduce yourself in my church, people would know all about you. And I thought, this is just amazing, the universality of the old neighborhood.
And that's what I think we're finding. And of course, you're getting a much greater universality to your 5 a.m. stories. And I think you're probably very surprised by that. Let the audience know what they're going to be joining if they become an audience of readers in as it relates to the robertboschler.substack.com subscription. How many you got so far?
Close to 200 subscribers. But my page views are up over 10,000. So
that's awesome.
It's awesome to me, too. You know, we moved back to Indianapolis back in the middle of a global pandemic. And all the things that I've been doing in Santa Fe, volunteer work and things like that, you know, were meaningless now. We couldn't do them. We didn't leave the house. And I always had this list of 5 a.m. stories that things that had been important in my life or meaningful. And I always wanted to get them on paper, and I never tried. And so I found myself sitting here looking at the list and thinking, you know, I got nothing better to do. And also I looked at the list and saw all these things that I guess I'd never looked at it that way before, made me think I'd really like to read about my life. I have all these odd happenstances. You and I both went to high school with David Letterman, graduated with him, was in a very small National Guard unit with Dan Quayle, and later interviewed him. We grew up in the same neighborhood as Kurt Vonnegut, and I followed him around the country, not as a stalker. It just happened. And in New York City, I interviewed him. And just a lot of interesting things like that put them together, and it's worth some episodic memoirs.
Yes, and that's the other thing I would want anybody going to 5 a.m. stories to know. This is by no means a Hoosier set of stories. This is all over the world, and as you told me one time, I'm just as likely to read about your years writing Herman Hogelbogel, who certainly put a different light on that character than I had read him in the news and my folks had. But often, as reading about Herman Hogelbogel, more likely you're going to read about Lebanon and Beijing and the like. So that's all part of what makes that particular Monday, Wednesday drop so special, and it just hit for me and today, and so consequently I'm looking forward to reading that later. You've got a boy, is that right?
Yes.
Just curious, and this may just crash and burn, but one of the things that my kids that prompted writing this was the amount of time I had spent talking to my kids about Primrose and the tales and their grandparents and the characters and personalities of our neighborhood and the events that I had participated in, although I didn't admit to until much later. Was there anything about Primrose that if someone were to ask your son anything he'd know about your growing up that's perhaps distinctive to Primrose?
You know, I don't think so, because, you know, we moved a lot when he was growing up. And I'm not sure, and he'd never been to Indianapolis. I mean, he came to visit us. We moved here, and that was the first time he'd even seen it. And I drove him down Primrose to see my old house, and he was a little surprised because we had, you know, lived in different sorts of places. I think the whole old neighborhood surprised him a bit. One other thing, you mentioned riparian at Broderville High School. I always like to look back at that and remember that I never got to write for them. I was the ad manager, because the teacher who supervised the newspaper said, you're a smart ass and you'd get smart ass stuff in your stories. And so all you can do is sell ads, and that's it. That's all you'll ever be able to do.
I would say Moore would have probably read the paper had they let you write. You have come back to reconnect with some folks from as far back as our elementary school, right?
That's right. And I didn't intend to. I really vehemently wanted not to, you know, slip into my old life. But again, thanks to Facebook, there were 3 or 4 people who knew I was coming back, and they were very nice, even though the pandemic was underway. We did socially distanced events in yards, and I really am socializing with people I knew in the third grade and in high school, and having a great time at it.
That's great. And sadly, the other side of that is we begin looking for folks that we related to in those years, and many of them have passed already. So that's kind of a sobering side of all this.
It is. The list gets longer and longer.
I know one of those folks talked about how strange it was that there were two different individuals that wrote or talked about Primrose, a very nondescript neighborhood and a very unlikely backdrop for so many stories. Have you considered that the same way?
Yeah, I think it's probably not much more than coincidence. I mean, I doubt if you gather together two dozen of the guys we grew up with in the old neighborhood, we're probably the only ones who were spending time writing stories about it. Some of them are probably in prison, and you know, who knows. But I think it's coincidence. But I think we both think that there was something worth writing about, something that interesting. I suspect that the piece I did about your podcast is probably the closest I'll come to mentioning the old neighborhood. So it's your territory from now on.
Well, I'll keep it, but there will probably be times I'll run things by you for detail and accuracy because, as you said, I tend to be more rosy at times, and there's a purpose to my writings and a purpose to your writings, and perhaps those paths may not cross too frequently beyond this.
Right. I think that's absolutely true. What people should know who listen to your podcast is, I think I'm the, apart from your family, I think I'm the only person you mentioned who's really named. I mean, the others are thinly disguised pseudonyms, but I gave you permission to go ahead and use my name, and so far it's worked out okay.
And I have always thought, even in using other names within the gang that we ran with, I've always thought to have everything come back on me if there's any asinine behavior or anything. And but there were some who just chose to remain out of our limelight. And I do appreciate being able to use your name. Appreciate, especially now that I have a nationally and internationally known writer as well as correspondent, blogger, editor, and the like. So that's been fun. And I don't know how this may be the high point of my interviews. Everybody else is going to be a great interview, as have been the four previously, but I don't know how many I'm going to be able to Google and find a full biography as I do you. So
you
may want to go through and scrub that too.
Well, you know, I love listening to your podcast, and I'm surprisingly touched by a lot of them. I think my favorite of all time was your one about getting your driver's license, because it's just so excruciating. And, you know, nature turned against you from the first attempt when your car wouldn't even pass inspection. And then it got worse from there. And I think about that a lot. And one thing that I really enjoyed about that one was you explained that the reason it was so important for you to get your license was that you reached a point when you turned 16 where you could no longer ride your bike to school because that was too dorky. And so you were having to take the bus and transfer and take another bus, probably spend an hour each way on the bus just so you wouldn't be seen riding your 26-inch Schwinn up to the school. And I dodged that bullet because my parents left the old neighborhood that same with my 16th year and moved to a place about a block from Broad Ripple. So I never had to go through that.
Yeah, you had with that. And that's funny because one of the things I lament was being on the far south end of the Broad Ripple district, which made it very difficult, especially with unreliable vehicles and four siblings, to get a ride up to school to participate in a lot of extracurricular events and activities. And so consequently, not that it would have changed life at all, but I use that to blame why I was merely a student aide and a hallroom monitor and that kind of stuff. So that is probably fortuitous for you, Robert, that you were so close. But nonetheless, I hold great fondness for the fact that you and I probably started as friends in third or fourth grade, and maybe earlier, second. We moved to the neighborhood when I was in second in 55. So you said born in the neighborhood. Did you actually go there as an infant?
Yeah, I think my parents were living with my grandparents while my mother was pregnant, and they were building Maple Downs at that point. And as soon as one was finished, the house was finished and they could get it, we moved into it. So I have no recollection of living anyplace else. My sister told me yesterday, and enjoys your podcast, by the way, read my piece about Maple Downs and said she still has the receipt or whatever it's called, title, I guess, from when our parents bought the house, and I was right about the $8,000 figure that they paid for it.
Wow, that's neat. Well, as we wrap this up, I don't want it to go, you know, over into other things that will be require me to use mea culpas later. So what else would you want to leave these listeners with? I do want to hear about Meridian, but is there anything else that is important to hear about why you came to this particular decision to be a part of this little endeavor, and anything else you'd want to take away from it?
In addition to looking at, when we moved here, looking at my list of stories that I wanted to get down on paper, an unusual thing happened. Because we bought this place without even having seen it except online, I really wanted to feel some connection to it. So I Googled our address, and the first thing that came up was an obituary from the Indianapolis Star for a baroness who had been the first occupant of the place and had actually died in this house, Baroness Anna Louise Franson von Gestel. And she lived and died here. And in addition to being a baroness, she was a well-known Shakespearean actress in the 1890s. And I've got reviews of her work from all over the country and Europe. So she was a pretty big deal. There's a Juliet balcony as part of the house right off the living room. I like to think that she went out there and practiced rehearsed for passersby. The fact, when I tell people that, every single person says, wow, and she died there? Have you seen her? Have you seen her ghost? And I was surprised at how often I got that question. But it became kind of fun, like the Baroness, you know, still part of her is still here. And I went to the Historical Society of Indiana and they've got a file on her and they've got some pictures. One of them is absolutely stunning. I'll hold it up to the phone so your listeners can see it. You can see it
Is it okay if I post that as a tease? Because I do have it.
Sure. You can find it online, and I've used it at least twice in my stories so far. But I was just so stunned by that connection, 100-year-old connection.
Wow.
And I, of course, my wife and I went totally separate ways on this. She thought it was just kind of a footnote, you know, to history. And I thought, wow, I wanted to get bathrobes, Juliet house embroidered on them and barware with it, etching and stuff like that. But she would have none of it. I did buy a high resolution version of that stunning picture, a full length picture of the Baroness, and put it on our desk in our living room. And next time I looked, it was up in my sock drawer. So we take a different view of this.
Oh, so it did not go there supernaturally?
Not supernaturally. Okay. But the Baroness is going to keep coming back to my stories, even though she doesn't really participate in many of my memories. But I've kind of given her a character, and I'll keep elaborating on that.
All right. That's something to look forward to as well. Well, Bob, I'm not going to keep you. I appreciate the time and just so enjoy talking to you whenever. I loved the fact that back in November we had a chance to get coffee together. And was it November or January? But I drove through a snowstorm to get to you, so you owed me.
You were here for a wedding, so whatever that would have been.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was November. So that's good. So anyway, if you come across anyone from the old neighborhood, old school, old high school that might in any way, shape, or form recall the dorky kid, give my best to them.
I will. You did the same.
A lot of folks in Georgia just hang on the fact that I'm listening and talking to Bob Bosler today. But please thank your wife for giving you another shot at this. And I'll look forward to this dropping. It'll drop Thursday, Lord willing. And I think I've pushed all the right buttons to make that happen. So anyway, Bob, I'll look forward to talking to you more and writing and responding to your writings because I'm loving it, really enjoying the Monday morning, Wednesday morning read. So, and yeah. I think anybody who enjoys just humor, wit, a little sarcasm, and just things looked at a quirky way are going to love reading your news letters. And so it's, again, that you're looking for, if you just Google 5 a.m. stories, I think you'll finally find it. But if you can't, write it down this time, even though you hadn't the first five times I said it, robertbosler.substack.com, and you will be in for a good 5-10 minute read every time you open it up. So subscribe, help him to feel listened to and read. It's important to him as in his old age. So
and it's free anyway, so.
And it is free thus far. I think he's missing out, but I'm not going to encourage it otherwise. So anyway, Bob, thank you, friend. I'm going to let you go. And again, I so appreciate you being willing to make this part of your morning.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you later.
Look forward to it. Bye.
Bye.
How was that as a crossover event? Same neighborhood, a little different look at it, though. Still fun, I hope. Again, I want to thank my very special guest, Bob Bosler. I'm sure enjoying these monthly interviews, and I'm very grateful to Bob for giving some of his time to this one-of-a-kind effort. I want to welcome new listeners who have come over from the Exposure 5 a.m. Stories is Given Chronicles. Whether or not that happens, I know Chronicle fans will find the twice-weekly stories offered at robertbosler.substack.com to be very special and entertaining and a great day to start your Mondays or your Wednesdays or whenever you get around to it. But back to Chronicles, it is, after all, my podcast. We're coming up on Memorial Day, and this season we're actually traveling across town to the Motor Speedway to experience the sights and sounds of not just the greatest spectacle in racing, but also the party on 16th Street and Georgetown Road the night before. Of course, I have a few personal yarns that I'll be sharing, and they involve newspapers and pizzas and a cracked block. In the meantime, consider the truth musically expressed by Jerry Wallace that life's a holiday on Primrose Lane, or in our case, Avenue. And blessings.